And our special guest tonight, David Sirita, and your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with David Sirita, your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. David, your views of life beyond our own planet.
You know, when I look at, and this is one of the biggest problems when astronomers and space scientists are looking for proof of other life and other planets, they're looking for a planet that is the exact distance to its star that our planet is to our star, our sun, where the temperatures are the same as what they are on Earth to sustain life. And that's the problem. And when you understand harmonics and you understand that we are like a cell with a membrane, and what causes a membrane to appear around a cell or even an atom is its harmonic ratio. And the harmonics of that determine how much heat that cell can absorb or reject. And when you really start to get into that idea, you can see that water-based systems with different harmonic sets can receive less or far more cosmic radiation than our little cell, our body, receives without destroying it. In fact, on phys.org, which is a really incredible place that I go to look for real big breakthroughs in astronomy, scientists have done just that. On the distant galaxies, scientists have found and have spotted water in the center of near the event horizon of a black hole in the center of a galaxy. And they've seen a lot of water. And when you understand that water is the precursor to life, you get very, very excited because you realize, oh my God, if water is surviving,
it's the soup.
Those temperatures in the center of a galaxy, there could be life forms that are planetary in size, made of water, which you could construe to be intelligent. Astronomers have found that some of these distant extra, beyond Earth and beyond our solar system sources of water are able to suddenly produce membranes around themselves to protect themselves from different degrees of temperature and radiation. And the fact that they do that is a signature of intelligence. I mean, you couldn't do that unless it was intelligent, because if the water didn't need to protect itself, it would just burn up in the presence of its star or depending on how much cosmic radiation was near the water. It wouldn't remain stable. So I don't know why they're not jumping up and down saying, oh, my God, this is the greatest discovery of all time. But it tells me that our ideas about how a life form has to be and how it has to exist, and Hubble looking for, again, planets that are as close to their sun and their sun is the right temperature to look for life, that's the wrong approach. I mean, I think if we look back into our ancient history and we look at some of the most superluminous beings that have visited our own planet, I think they have membranes harmonic sets in their cell structure that can allow them to even survive, literally right next to our sun.
David, a Texan from Nova Scotia in Canada, when you talk about transformation in 2012, are you talking about people or the planet or both?
Well, I'm really talking about both. I mean, there's no doubt the harmonics of our planet and our sun are going to change. There's going to be a new set of instructions, when we come into the fifth or the sixth sun, depending if you count the Greek or the Maya and the Hopi. So I'm talking about both, absolutely.
All right, let's go to some of the calls. First-time caller, Andrew in Indianapolis, Indiana. Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, George and David. How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Good.
I was wanting to ask, earlier you were talking about how you had people that were focusing their conscience on deflecting earthquakes and stuff and, like, solar corona masses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be possible to use that method to deflect, say, like, an asteroid or a comet that we found that was coming out, that was on its way to Earth?
Well, see, that's a great opportunity to try it. And I think, look at the current oil spill problem. You would think, okay, British Petroleum had already played out this scenario, and they already have the answer. Well, they don't have an answer. So now we're talking about one of the worst disasters in the history of the world. And so you say, obviously they didn't premeditate this. Let's say an asteroid is coming to us, and we know asteroid Apophis will come extremely close to Earth, and there are some scientists that are telling me that they already know it's going to hit us. And let's say we don't have the technology to move it out of the way physically. That's a great time to exercise that super lens and beam of global consciousness. But you need global media to organize it. And one of the things that interested me and some of the people that I work with is, do you really need, you know, millions of listeners on Coast to Coast AM to do this? And certainly, as in the laws of quantum physics apply, the greater the amplitude, the greater the probability. And amplitude means number. So if more waves are set up in the same wave function, then the likelihood of the outcome is very, very high, that you're going to get the result that you're intending with that wave function. But when you're talking about, you know, a dire situation like that, I would say we'd have to use the best technology we have, but I wouldn't rely on that, just like I wouldn't rely on British Petroleum and I wouldn't rely on this administration to solve the crisis in the Gulf, you know. And so we should use that global consciousness theme. We should try it on smaller things first, which we've already done and very successful on this show. There's been many demonstrations of that, but that is a very extreme situation. Apophis could be a very extreme situation.
All right, next up, San Jose we go. It's Chris's turn on Coast to Coast. Chris, go ahead.
Hi there. Hi, George. Thank you.
Sure.
Great show. David, I had a great question here. I'm very nervous, and not usually I don't talk about these subjects too much, but I do a lot of research myself. I guess a lot of people do. But I was wondering if you – if you ever noticed the number three you were talking about earlier. I mean, all your topics are riveting, and they're hitting home with everything. And you're ahead of your time there, sir. And what I wanted to say about the number three, I just questioned if you know the relation to its potential opening. This is the actual. Time traveling device is the equation of three in the it's like the three, there's three numbers within one number, and there's three of them. These open the time fabric at a certain resoundment, you know, with the sound within the sound. These are equations, and it goes to the nine. However, it's a three that enters the six, and that's the launching point through this. We'll call it a tube. I mean, everyone, we seem to be looking at this, the black hole or these tubes, the snake. And the launching point from the six to the nine is to the other side, and you've achieved your equation.
You follow him, David?
Oh, yeah, no, it's a very interesting idea. I mean, again, you know, when you look at numbers, you think musically everything is waves and sound, and those waves and sound break down to numbers. So when you look at numbers, you can translate them back to waves again. And beyond sound waves are electromagnetic waves, and there are actually other, you know, different types of waves beyond even electromagnetic waves when you get into the subtle energy spectrum, you know, like William Tiller's work. But if you take the number three and you look for its square root, which is the number that you multiply against to get three, so you're looking for what number times itself equals three. So when you look for its square root, on a calculator with, you know, 10 or 15 decimal points, it's 1.7302508, et cetera, right? Well, when you square that again to see if it's going to equal 3, you get 2.9999999. And again, you got an infinity. So you start with a 3, and again, whenever you see these infinities on a size scale, they are going to vibrate below the Planck scale, which is the lowest and the smallest scale ever measured, and they're going to reach the zero-point field. They're going to vibrate all the way down to that point. And when you get to the zero-point field, I mean, time travel, all of it is very possible. I mean, my theory mathematically with time travel is if you know the wave functions of your current location on the planet in time, and that can mathematically be determined, and build a wave generator with those functions, then you create another set of wave functions for a distant location in time, either past or forward, and you entangle them. And whenever you entangle wave functions, they share information with each other, so you get to experience the past or the future through that wave function. And I think that's what David Anderson is doing as well.
All right, next up we go to Union, Washington, west of the Rockies. Jim, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, George and David. I'm not a very learned man, but I don't know. In the Bible, just where it's at, it says that God will open the earth and release the locusts. What if the word locust is wrong and it's focus?
Oh, well, you know, we have to, all the four Gospels were written in Greek, the original copies, you know, which were originally oral master storytelling, which is coming from the present, you know, the current moment in real time when they were taught to the disciples, and then they eventually became written in Greek. So you have to look at that word, locust, and see how they arrived at that from the Greek, and see if there are different branches of the word, and that's a very, you know, interesting possibility.
Next up, we go to Carl in Atoka, Oklahoma, east of the Rockies. Carl, go ahead.
Hello, George and David.
Hi.
Hi.
I've done extensive research into harmonics. I am an Indian shaman. I know how to read stones and Mother Nature. That may sound strange to the average person.
Not to me.
But to us, it's it comes natural. And it's due to our own internal harmonics. And the harmonic nodes, when they come along, that opens the field from the nearby fields. And we're able to either go through them or peer into them.
Wow.
If you understand what I'm trying to
say. Oh, I do.
Okay. Do you ever get back to Oklahoma?
No, but I know that's where all the gatherings happen. I did do a lot of work with elders for many years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have some ancient stones.
Really?
That actually communicate with you. That may sound strange also.
Explain that a little bit for us.
We go to a sacred stone down here in Tushka where there's a stargate. A stargate is where the nodes of the nearby frequencies bleed over into the next frequency, if you understand my
word. Oh, yeah, you have the next universe, yeah.
Yes, it's a parallel universe.
The other universe, yeah.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this stone, you would think that a stone is an inanimate object that could not change or move or do things like that. In fact, it does change. And it puts out different signs with each person that I take down there. I have them bring their own cameras, and we've had all kinds of cameras down there. And each time it's a different set of circumstances and the different frequencies that come out of the stone.
Stones are so powerful. I mean, I work with stones. I've tested so many different types of natural stone with different harmonics. And one of the things that interests me is going back to the original language of the universe and which human languages resonate and open and vibrate with that original language of the universe. And some of the Native American languages, the old languages, I think were very, very close to true resonance in nature, and that's why those words have that power. And stone is electronically... There are certain types of stones that are capacitors. They can hold an electric charge, which means they not only hold electricity, they can hold information. And that's why, you know, I've had amazing success in working with stones, so I completely understand you. But there are stones that are very, very special, because when people in different ceremonies work with stone and vibrate in the presence of stone for hundreds, if not thousands of years, those stones become very, very powerful conduits. So, send me an email to davidsarita@hotmail.com if you use the internet. I'd like to be in touch with you.
Hey, David, getting back to Emoto's work, why does it work? How does it happen?
Well, you know, you can look at it from a sonic perspective, which is the easiest way to see it, even though it happens on a more subtle level with just thought. But every sound has a particular... if you run sound waves through water, you can see the little ripples that it creates, and different types of sound will have different types of waves. And then when waves crash into each other, you get interference patterns, and then you also get differentials or differences in energy and structure between them, and that creates shape. In my differentials work, I did this experiment in a swimming pool, and you see this counter-rotational spinning black vortex appearing on the bottom of my swimming pool, and then a counter-rotational spin right on top of it. And in the interference pattern between those two, all of a sudden all these sacred geometries and architectures start to appear. And because I shot it on video, I can look at it frame by frame and say, oh, my God, look what's happening. Well, that's the same as language. When you create sound, you think of logos really meaning perfect ratio and harmonics, giving vibration and light to create everything in the universe. That is the universe's language. And you know, why does Emoto's effect work? Well, it's just like taking a photograph of a wave in action. But what's really amazing about his effect is that whether there's sound or not, if there's just a thought, it can restructure the water. And that you can take a photograph of that. That is just unbelievable.
Okay, we go next to Jackson, Mississippi. Hello, Terry, you're up with us. Go ahead. Terry?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, my question was, like, personally, I believe that in 2012 we're not going to see a cataclysm, but it's going to be like we're going to have a choice, and that we are either going to evolve and become more noble and enlightened, or we're actually going to de-evolve, and we're going to see, our children be less smart, and intelligent, generation after generation. I'm wondering if this kind of runs parallel to collective thought that, we could prevent this if we think about it in the proper way.
Oh, that's a great thought, and that's everything, in a nutshell that I'm saying here about the sun. If we ignore it, if we don't, evolve into the higher vibrations the sun is trying to move through our solar system, and we resist it, we are going to de-evolve. And, you can see not only as we approach 2012 have there already been enormous disasters and, almost a million people have died so far just in the last couple of years here, but we're also seeing massive iconoclasms in all of our great icons in our society, including the financial system and everything. I mean, everywhere you look, every country you look at right now, I mean, the collapse of the Greek economy, and you're seeing whole countries going bankrupt. But those same countries still have resources. They still have olives in Italy. They still have olive oil. They still have everything they've ever had. But yet we're saying, oh, there's a bank that says that you owe all this money, so you really don't have those resources. They're just going to sit there and rot. We cannot believe this. We cannot believe these bankers anymore. They are the biggest deceivers on the planet. I think there is so much brilliance on the planet right now on the positive scale that if there was enough money, or what money represented, moving energy into giving life to those new ideas, we would see incredibly positive changes as we're coming into the new sun.
Absolutely. And stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment with final phone calls with David Sarita. On our next program, Jim Channon joins us. We talk about his work, which is the first Earth Battalion Field Manual. He's going to be guiding us, telling us how our planet will move ahead toward a brighter future. That's always nice to do a little positive show every once in a while, not too doom and gloomy. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. David Sarita's websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com right now as well. His ebook, Differentials and the Hidden Harmonic Codes of the Universe, and his DVD video is called The Voice. And we'll be back with David, and we'll take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're going to come back in just a moment. We're going to take final phone calls with David Sarita, and here we go. David, these pictures of these UFOs around the sun or whatever they might be, did NASA ever comment on those?
Yeah, you get different answers over there. I mean, there's no doubt the camera is looking into the invisible ultraviolet, which is an area that interests me because that's where you can see things that show up that are not in our dimension. But one of the things they say is, oh, well, you're just looking at, pixels that have gone awry, and that's one of the answers you get. Well, how do pixels produce an architecture like that, that looks like, and again, I had to blow that up from a very, poor original resolution. I know they have much better resolution on the original, but it looks clearly like three-dimensional, like two wedding bands wrapped into each other, 90 degrees away from each other. Very similar to the object that was captured with regular telescopes and showed up all over the news media. So I don't understand how that can be pixels. I mean, I've been a professional photographer for over 20 years. I've worked with so many different types of cameras, and I've never seen pixels when they go awry produce an architecture. I've seen them produce just, you know, little rectangles that seem like they're out of alignment, and there's a bit of an error there. But considering the camera's looking into the invisible, I'm not surprised that that is a real object.
Back to the phone Skype line. Walter, Toronto, Canada. Hey, Walter, go ahead.
Good morning. I'm glad I got through. I'm a first-time caller.
Super.
David, you may or may not be aware that there's an international academic conference called Cosmos and the Biosphere that takes place in Sudak, which is on the Crimean Peninsula in Ukraine. And you can actually look at some of the English abstracts, and they've got fascinating papers on the effect of the sun on the biosphere in different living systems. The other comment I wanted to make was that researchers are about to come out with a hydrated fullerene. Remember buckyballs that were invented or discovered 25 years ago? They're about to come out with a fullerene water solution drink coming out of Ukraine, which has just been approved by the Ministry of Health. And it has all kinds of fascinating effects, primarily by structuring water. And because of that, those water structures produce a whole host of biological and medical effects.
Well, that's great information. My last name, Sarita, is an Ukrainian name from my father's side of the family. And I'm actually interested in that conference. So please send me an email to davidsarita@hotmail.com if you can in, next week.
David, explain the harmonics for me one more time and how this works.
Well, the difference between a harmonic and a frequency is this. I mean, we're very familiar with frequencies. A frequency is how many times a wave will oscillate or peak per second. So you're just measuring you can't get an infinity on a frequency. You see, because you can't produce a frequency of 1.1111 because that goes forever. You can have a frequency of 1.125 waves per second, but you can't get infinities. What happens with a harmonic, it's like, think of an orchestra. You have one violin playing a note at one frequency, and then you have a cello playing another note at a different frequency. Each of those two instruments on their own has a unique sound, but when they come together, the sound waves collide. And when they collide, because they're not equal wavelengths, they produce differential vibrations. And those leftover vibrations between two, three, or more waves can generate infinities, which are harmonics. And there are harmonics that are disharmonic, that have no particular order to them at all. And there are harmonics that are absolutely perfect. And so that's what you look for. When you see and you take measurements in the quantum universe of real subatomic particles, you always find perfect harmonics. So creation is perfect. It is absolutely perfect in its particular harmonic.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Lafayette, Indiana. William, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, William. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Two questions real quick about pertaining to the sun. One, is it going to continue fanning north? Because I've never seen the sun come in my north window ever until about 2 years ago. And this little sliver of it comes in now, and that's why I'm asking that. Second question is, has anyone pondered what's going to happen when all this oil in the Gulf, that dark oil is on the water, and when the July sun hits it, isn't that going to raise the temperature of the ocean a little bit? And won't that make for more severe storms down there? I mean, I don't know if anyone's even asked that question. I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks, guys.
Well, yeah, firstly, about the position of the sun, I've had other people email me about that, and that's something that I don't actually know the answer for from any data that I have, but that would mean that our pole is drifting already, if that is true, and it may be. And it generally does drift very gradually, but not radically. Even if we had a sudden 10-degree pole shift, it would be quite radical for that to even happen. We don't need the poles to flip over completely for massive Earth changes to take place. So if that is true, what the caller said, and I've had other people tell me that, then something is happening. We need to check the drift rate of our magnetic north and true north. So But as far as the Gulf, I mean, again, the gassing, the off-gassing from the fumes is all. I mean, the workers who are there, and there's not many workers there cleaning up the oil, are getting very, very sick from the fumes. And when heat hits oil, it's going to outgas even more. And then there's the natural gas, which is a ratio of 1,000 to 1 on the crude. I think the whole Gulf region is in danger of hypoxia, which is oxygen starvation to the brain. And you know what happens when you're in your house and you leave the natural gas on, and you can barely smell it. It has kind of a foul odor, but if you don't catch it, you'll be dead in the morning. So it is a potentially brutal situation. I've heard private reports that is their biggest fear. There are already reports of animals, not marine life, but little animals and critters dying in the coastal regions from the fumes.
Okay, next up, let's go to our first-time caller, Chris in Baltimore, Maryland. Go ahead, Chris.
George, Dave, how you guys doing?
Good, all is well, thank you.
I'm going to try not to be too crazy here. I'm just trying to understand this a little bit better. My question is, it's kind of like the other guy that called up at the time holes. Now, the number 3 and everything, they have other universes and stuff, and I'm always seeing on the internet how that they're finding black holes everywhere. Could that be other universes, like people or whatever, deciphering something wrong and causing a black hole? Or
Well, I mean, I definitely believe in the other universes. I mean, mathematically, they've counted, and physicists have counted so many of them, you don't even want to look at the number. They're really there. And Richard Feynman believed in alternative histories that actually exist. They really exist. If you were vibrating in that specific harmonic, you would experience it. The other universe, I have some examples coming up in my next film coming out in next year that will show some physical cases of people actually going in them. And with that native Indian caller who called in, I mean, I've heard stories of people who travel deep into the wilderness, nowhere near any roads, any country roads, and they have actually seen vortexes or black holes appear right in front of them. And they know they had a choice to walk into that vortex, and they would have been taken to the other universe. So there are also people who believe, in fact, the Tibetans believe this, that this whole city, this whole country, sorry, of Shambhala, which is in the other universe right on top of Earth right now, it's right here, it will merge with our dimension of Earth in 300 years from now, so that the two universes will actually collide and merge into each other, and we'll suddenly realize, oh, my God, there's other beings living on our planet.
Did you see the picture of that sinkhole
in
Guatemala?
There was another one like that in Canada that swallowed a house. That thing is so deep, and we're seeing more and more of those, and that's, again, when we were talking earlier about all of the earthquakes consistently vibrating all at the same time, and now we have more and more underneath the ocean volcanoes erupting all at the same time, and then the sinkholes, that's not a good sign. I hate to say what that might mean.
You talk about a vortex. I mean, did you see how perfectly round that sinkhole was?
Oh, yeah.
How does that happen?
And how deep
yeah.
it went. Well, you know, it's kind of ironic. You remember the movie Knowing with Nicolas Cage?
Mm-hmm.
There's this little video on YouTube where you see him sitting in front of the TV, and there's all this news about solar flares, and then there's a oil rig in the Gulf that blows up, right? And you're saying that movie was made over a year before this event has occurred. And then there was also the sinkholes appearing everywhere in that movie. And now it's happening. And you go, was that a premonition? Or did the writers of that movie see something in the future by getting into a time warp themselves? I mean, it really blows my mind.
Let's go back to the calls. Tom in San Francisco. Hey, Tom, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, are the changes in the sun's personality and its energetic output relative to the sun's age? Or is it the sun's movement through the galactic orbit?
Well, the sun's moving through the galactic orbit. We know that our solar system orbits around the galaxy every 240 million years or so. And so we can pass over the same point that we've been before. even though no human civilization has ever survived a single full 64-million-year wave, which is bobbing up and down south and north of the galactic plane. But at the same time, we're spiraling inwards, going into a higher frequency dimension of the galaxy, and there's no civilization, not even the dinosaurs, have experienced being in that dimension of the galaxy ever before.
Okay.
You see.
Is there a pattern to predicting the future, David?
I think the future is not fixed. I really don't believe it is. If it was, if this was all just a computer program like The Matrix and it's just playing like a movie, there would be no consciousness. I think the idea of being able to see the future and looking at the sun and predicting with simple physics what the outcome is going to be is really exciting because we have all these tools, we have all these cameras, but now we can engage our consciousness in that and see if we can change it. And it's the same thing with knowing where your life is going personally. And if you say, oh, if I go down that road or I get in that relationship, this is where I'll end up. You actually have a choice, and you can think differently and make a different decision and get a different future. So I think it's the same for the Earth. It's not set in stone 100%. Now, according to physicists like Claude Swanson, there are certain events that are most likely to happen in the future. They may deviate a little bit through some changes that human beings could make, but most likely they're still going to happen one way or another because there's too much energy, or the amplitude of energy heading in that direction is too high, and there's no way a couple of people thinking differently is going to change it.
No, not at all. Next up, let's go to Queens, New York. Peter's east of the Rockies. Peter, thanks for calling.
Thank you. David, you're talking about the sun and all that, and there was a great, you being Ukrainian, I've been going to Ukrainian Catholic Church for a while, and you may be familiar with that. Mm-hmm. But they have a big thing there about the Blessed Virgin Mary, that Jesus sent Mary to a little town in Portugal named Fatima, and a great miracle happened there, the sun.
The sun miracle.
It warned the people about the New Age movement and about sin and the sins of the world. What does this pertain to, the miracle of the sun? Even the Freemasons witnessed it and confessed it being a great miracle. How could that relate to what you're saying? You know, it's very important nowadays to talk about things that are on the issue of sin and all that, and then it seems no one's talking about it so much anymore, you know?
Well, I mean, as far as the miracle of the sun itself, I mean, you can see that consciousness of the consciousness of those observers may have seen a dimension of the sun that nobody else was seeing, because of the energy of the Virgin Mary being present. Astronomers have no data that the sun actually did that day to the whole planet. So that means only the local observers saw it. And again, if you alter the wave function of the consciousness of the local observer, they're going to see light differently than somebody with a different set of harmonics. But as far as, you know, sin and all these things and interpreting Fatima, I don't want to go into that.
All right, let's go to Hector in La Habra, California. Hey, Hector, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, George? David, been listening for quite some time. Happy to be on the show, 8 years. Solar flares. They're saying all this talk about what you're saying, it's going to get worse. 2012, it's going to happen. It's going to get a little bit worse. Well, what's this going on? I don't hear people talking about it, but Denver International Airport, all the underground tunnels, building that the Queen Elizabeth bought a house. There's a house that has been found that has been bought for her, that people are going to be brought to this area in 2012, but the government knows about it. Scientists scientists for the government know about it. When the solar flares get really out of control, they're going to bring certain people, you know, rich people like Queen Elizabeth of high power, to this place. And again, so it's basically the chosen people that are going to be taken to this place and underground, underneath Denver International Airport. There's these tunnels, bases that they can house thousands of people down there, which are going to be the chosen people, and everybody else, like us, we're going to be left to deal with.
Well, and it's not just there, because systematically it's strategically all over this planet, where I believe the elitists have their own little hideaway. David, what do you think?
Oh, I think they are definitely taking caution, and people like that are not laughing at the 2012 hypothesis now, especially with all the disasters we've had in the last 6 months, you know, since I've been on your show. They can see the signs very clearly, and they definitely wouldn't, you know, try to save the rest of humanity. But there are powers in this universe and in this solar system that I have experienced. I'm absolutely convinced, 100%, that something like the rapture could happen. Absolutely. I've seen proof of that from my own self. But, you know, whether people believe in it or not, if there is a creator to our biological species and they care about us, they would not let us all die. I just don't believe that. So, you know, will the queen be saved and the rest of us not?
Long live the queen. Let's go to Las Vegas, Nevada. Vinny, let's squeeze you in here. Go ahead.
Well, on that note, the Bilderbergs are meeting in Spain at this time. And there is a secret government. We should look into them, as what the last caller was saying. But my call relates to the fact that they're spraying chemtrails or geoengineering, and they're terraforming our atmosphere. And it's of concern. And there's a lot of information. So I also want to make a point about a guy named Peter Sutherland. And ironically, George and David, Peter is the chairman of the board of BP, and is also the chairman of the board of Goldman Sachs International, which made a substantial profit off of the shorting of Transoceanic stock days before. And this is our elite, and the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergs are orchestrating this chaos.
No, no doubt. And by the way, Vinny, tomorrow we should be getting an update from Daniel Estulin, who is in Brussels monitoring the Bilderbergs and what they are doing. David, we are running out of time. Get your website out for us, sir.
My two websites are voiceentertainment.net and lightstreamtechnologies.com, and they're up on your site there.
All right, great. Thanks, David. That's David Sarita, always a fantastic guest. Reminds me a lot of David Wilcock. He's got that kind of mindset, that kind of thinking, does he not? And when he was talking about the futuristic map of North America, remember what Edgar Cayce said? It floods and the coasts become like where Arizona is. So be careful. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.